Hey, you're listening to Big Facts No Cap with Paul and Adrian, the only podcast that's number one with Bruce Banner and all those who respect table manner. All right, let's get into this episode.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
So what you got going on, brother?
Not much. It is just a Saturday morning. What do you usually do on a Saturday?
It depends. It ebbs and flows. Today, I've got a little bit of work to do, but before this, I just went to the gym and made myself a little breakfast sandwich. I had one bagel left, so I made a little sausage, egg, and cheese on a bagel. Ooh.
If you guys haven't seen Adrian in a while, like if you're a friend who listens to the podcast, but you moved to a different city or Adrian moved to a different city, Adrian, since he started going to the gym, does now look like the Chad meme.
It's true. I became Iranian. Full transracial.
Transracial?
Yeah.
Oh, because you became Iranian. Persian.
Yeah. Of the Levant.
Of the Levant? Iran is not in the Levant.
What?
Not even close.
Not even close. It's the furthest away country.
I didn't say it was the furthest.
You said not even close. I would assume that it's pretty damn far.
You think not even close means as far as possible? Why?
That means pretty. It means on that end of the spectrum.
No, it doesn't. It means not close.
Yeah. So, like, pretty far away. As far as could possibly be, really.
Okay. Move the goalposts, Adrian. This is an ad hoc. This is a logical fallacy.
You're not allowed to speak fancy Latin on the podcast. That's one of my rules.
This is a straw man fallacy. This is a... Man, I feel like at what point in my life I would have known more of these.
Oh, yeah. High school, Paul?
Yeah. Come on now.
When he was going toe-to-toe with the intellectual Christians in South Carolina?
Pagans believe in 500 gods. You believe in one. I happen to believe in one less.
Ooh, you're on your Christopher Hitchens shit.
I was watching him recently. What a smug, dumb asshole.
Why were you watching Christopher? There's no reason to. He's dead.
I was watching his debate with somebody else about if Trotsky was evil or not.
Did he have strong opinions about that? I didn't know that.
A Trotskyist at one point in his
life.
Was
he really? Yeah. That makes sense.
He's pro-Trotsky.
That makes sense.
His debate really centered on the alternative to the Red Armies was that there would be a way worse thing in Russia if they hadn't won. So that's why Trotsky's good. But you know what that made me think of? Every time I see Hitchens, it's like so obvious he's trying to do like a Winston Churchill thing, right? Like a drunk, disgusting man who has witty remarks about politics or in the public sphere.
Yeah. That famous quote where he was like, hey, tomorrow I'll be sober. Tomorrow you'll still be a dumb bitch.
Like, if anybody acted like that in your life, you'd be like, dude, what the fuck? Don't talk to her like that. What's wrong with you? Grow up.
Nah, it'd be pretty cool. It'd be pretty rad.
No cap.
Makes it to the podcast more than it makes it into our everyday conversations, but Dropout coming out with a new higher tier just for the fuck of it. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
I didn't see. That's funny.
Yeah, they released a whole thing where they were like, we're doing this new thing, pay more for nothing. Just pay more because you like us.
Based on their subreddit, the few times I've gone there, seems like it would work. I mean, it seems like a big concern.
Oh, yeah. I think it worked great.
The Dropout subreddit is kind of like the Chapel Roan fan base, where it seems like the community itself is overly concerned with the other parts of the community that are parasocial and weird about it. Cool. Did you get to watch anything this week?
Yes, I went to a movie premiere last Saturday for a local horror film called Mr. TV Man. It was pretty cool. They had props from the movie at the theater. There was a Q&A with everybody afterwards. There was also three horror shorts that led into the movie. Mr. TV Man was also just a 15-minute like proof of concept short, so like it wasn't a full movie. So there was also a drag performance and like a live music show afterwards to kind of fill out the time. But no, it was cool. It's cool to see a lot of people who were really into horror and were local. But yeah, it was really interesting, and it was really cool to hear really passionate people speak about like the very DIY aspects of like that kind of film, of that kind of like budget of film. And then the other thing was, actually the only other thing I had was two food influencer things. Did you see that Kenji finally came out with his own knife?
No.
The pipeline of food tuber to having knife. To have my own knife thing.
Yeah.
I really, you know, I think Kenji's done it in a cool way where it seems like he has a cool, very thoughtful knife, but like, I don't know. Part of me is never going to really be fully on board with someone on YouTube being like, oh, I made a knife and it's definitely the best knife for the price that you can buy. And it's like, all right, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a lie just because of the, like, they have to get their cut and their personality. There's no way their personality is actually adding quality. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
You just have to assume.
No, no, Kenji's losing money on each knife. That's how much he loves it.
You have to assume at just a base level that the economics can't work out as well as they would for somebody who didn't have to have a celebrity yeah. cut.
And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I would judge someone pretty harshly if I went into their house and they had all Babish cookware and knives.
Yeah.
And if they had a Ragusa knife.
Oh, yeah. It has. How do you feel? Do you buy knives with the the little like dimples so that the air helps like food fall off after a slice?
I mean, that usually comes off in a set. Yeah, there's usually one of those for like potatoes or anything like that. Yeah,
I think I like that feature in a chef's knife. Like, I mean, because I only have really like a couple knives. I don't buy whole sets. Mm. But I think in a chef's knife, I kind of want that. The more I use a knife with those dimples, I'm like, that's Ooh. Actually a pretty good feature.
You know, I have it for a chopper, but for my chef's knife? No, I mean, when Tin had his, he had the Damascus ones, but not anything with, like, the dimples in it. It's just usually in a set, there's one, the one, like, rounded chopper kind of thing, yeah. But yeah, no, I don't have strong opinions about his knife. It seems cool. Who was the other one? Was it Brad Leone who had, like, a cool... No, I think it might have been Kenji, actually, still, who I'm thinking about, who had, like, a cool story about how he found the person who he works with to make the knives. But I don't know. I don't know what point in my life I'm going to be at where I'm going to be like, you know what? Let me drop a little bit of money on a Kenji knife. That's a
yeah. I don't really spend a lot of money on knives. I think I like not spending money on them so I can justify having an electric sharpener where it's like, well, I didn't spend Ooh. A lot of money on the knife, so I can just sharpen it quickly with something that does remove too much material.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then the only other thing is I've been watching Molly Baz's Thanksgiving shorts, and I don't really. I don't know if we talked about Molly Baz on the show before, but she's of the white women on YouTube, she's one of the cooler ones. She's got like a real like everything I make has to have a bunch of garlic and dill in it for no reason type white woman. I think that's kind of cool. All of her stuff always looks really good, even if I'm not going to make it myself.
No cap.
Well, that's boring. Let's talk about, did you hear about Trump blowing Bill Clinton? What's up with that?
What?
Wait, have you really not heard about this?
No, what?
Oh, that was in the new leaks from the Epstein files, which came out yesterday. Is there was an email about Trump giving a blowjob to Bill Clinton at some kind of Epstein event or something.
Like, was it jokey? Because obviously all these guys are acting like dumb dude bros in the emails. I didn't hear about that one. Was it like a jokey thing, or it was like a very serious, like, isn't that crazy that happened?
As far as I know, people are taking it as if it actually happened based on the text, the reading of the text.
I don't know why. Kind of beautiful,
is yeah, my think so?
Understanding.
You
yeah.
think like a beautiful, like, well, I don't think they were enemies back then, right? They were friends. So, yeah, it was just friends doing dude things with friends.
Well, the emails are pretty recent. Was it talking about something that happened a while ago, or was it?
Oh, yeah, I think so. This okay. was like 20 years ago, yeah.
Do you think
you think nowadays Donald Trump is taking time off from golfing to go give road dome to Bill Clinton?
Oh, but it was normal in the 90s. That's what that
Yeah, it was the 90s, baby. What are you talking about? It was the 90s.
Do you think everything that's happened in the 2010s with, like, Trump's come up was more of, like, a subtle sexual power game?
I don't know why you said it like it was he's the up-and-coming rapper. He can't stop my come up.
Do you think this was all a subtle sexual power game between him and Bill?
This is, you know, that would be funny because people always said that it was Obama making fun of Trump that made him run, whatever. But really, it was Bill dumping a load of cum in his mouth.
There's some psychosexual need where it's like they felt like they couldn't be together, but he wanted to feel seen by Bill. And
he had to beat his wife? That's crazy.
Yeah.
He had exactly. to prove that he was the better. Wow.
He had to prove he was better than Hillary to earn Bill's love.
Wow. He had to reinforce the glass ceiling.
Man, if anything's going to get us killed when Trump takes over, purges all his enemies, it's going to be this podcast.
Okay,
they're
going to
play this at our trial and be like, you said this about God Emperor Trump. And I'm going to be like, that was Adrian, man. He was doing my voice.
The part where you guys, like, Trump was like, work the shaft, cradle the balls, work the shaft, cradle the balls.
I'm going to be like, give me names. I'll throw them under the bus. What do you need from me for me to get me out of this? Give me any name.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm glad I got to break that news to you. I hope you can sit with that today, think about it.
All right, cool. I heard about other things. I hadn't heard about that yet, but I feel like if it's similar to the Hillary emails, we're going to get like a new crazy thing for the next couple months, every couple days, as people read through them.
Yeah, probably. We'll see. All right, you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Table etiquette.
Is this something you consider yourself well-versed in?
No, I don't know what to fork for.
I also don't know what the fork for, but people say you work your way outside in, which makes sense to me. It's not like you have to grab a random piece of silverware. It's just like you use the most accessible one for each subsequent meal.
That's a rule of thumb that you learn instead of just kind of learning the actual basics?
I've never had to utilize it. I've never been at a meal where there was like five preset forks and I had to pick the right one, but I guess if I was, there
also,
you go.
Also, why would that not just be something where you mirror everybody else? How is that not a situation where you could just, like, at what point are you the first person to eat?
What if you're really hungry and they're taking their time to pick up their fork and you're like, I gotta go.
Oh, and they're
go.
Yapping and they're praying and all that stuff and you're like, I want to eat this soup.
Well, don't use a fork for that, Adrian.
No, I'm using the fork to brush my hair.
Now that's not table manners.
But I'm a little mermaid.
Yeah, I think that's what you would pull off if you were ever in a really formal dinner situation. You'd be charmingly inept. People would be like, it is wonderful to just have a normal working class person here for once.
Yeah,
now, Adrian,
yeah,
do tell. What is it like to poop for yourself and not have your servants do it?
It's the best part of my day. Sometimes I eat more so I can poop more later. How many times have you been asked to remove your elbows from the table?
Oh, I am an elbow-on-table person. How'd you guess? I guess we are friends. You've probably seen me do it.
I've eaten with you, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen you reach across a table. I've seen you have your elbows on a table. I've seen you not put your napkin in your lap. I've seen you slap a hoe. I've seen you stab somebody for trying to eat off your plate. I've seen you burp in someone's face.
Oh, I have done that.
I did that once, too. I felt so bad about it because it was a complete accident.
Hats. That's one where it's like, we're way past that, right? Nobody cares if you have a hat on at a table.
At a fancy restaurant? At the dining table for your family, I don't think it matters. Because you have to have one guy with the MAGA hat balancing out the guy with the NPR hat.
Oh, is the NPR hat the opposite of a MAGA hat?
Yeah.
Because let me teach you something about how the liberal media reifies conservative power, Adrian.
It's actually the modern side of fascism. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, cut an NPR listener and really it's Adolf Hitler who bleeds.
That's true.
And really, it's Mussolini. Punch an NPR listener, and it's Mussolini who gets the black eye. I've always said that.
He gets bruised, yeah. Did TV shows growing up make you think that having to choose between multiple forks was going to be a daily challenge as an adult?
Yeah, I think it was up there.
Yeah. I don't really think I've ever had that issue.
No, like I said, I've never been to that sort of dinner party. But maybe it's because I haven't succeeded in life.
Maybe. I was going to say the fanciest thing that I've been experienced to is where they just trade them out. Like, they start you off with, like, a bread plate and bread silverware, and then they trade it out for your next thing. So you don't have it all at the beginning. They just bring it out in courses or whatever.
I think that's true. Other table manners. Okay, so hats, even if they're backwards and really complete your outfit, you got to take them off.
Yeah.
And even if you wear them tilted that you walk with a hunch, take them off.
Mm-hmm.
Your back better be straight during that dinner.
I know that when you're in Japan, you're supposed to slurp them nudes, but everywhere else, you're not supposed to slurp. It's impolite to slurp one soup.
Oh, that's not a thing that crosses the sea at all? There's no East Asian countries that you slurp to?
I don't know. That's just what Japan. Maybe in Thailand. Is it also a thing that only in Japan you're allowed to pick up your bowl and drink your soup or whatever?
Oh, I do know love that doing that's one rude of those. In some cultures, yeah.
I love doing one of those. Have you ever, maybe not a manners thing, but have you ever realized that you just have a different strategy for eating something than somebody else?
No.
No, the thing that I was thinking about, and it was funny because we were at a Southern restaurant. I was, I was back home in North Carolina. Not back home in North Carolina, but I was back home, went to North Carolina to visit a friend who was a transplant there. We went to a fancy restaurant together, and it was a Southern restaurant, so it came out with biscuits at the beginning. And I don't know why, but like, I think it's one of those things where I think I've told you before that like when I see my dad eat stuff, sometimes I don't know if that's how Guatemalan people eat things or if that's just how my dad eats things. Like one of the ways that he uses tortillas is he like makes it into like a little like stick of torpedo of tortilla and just dips it into like stews. And I'm like, I don't know if that's how you eat it or if that's just how my dad does it. But like one of the things that I did when I had a biscuit and butter is I just took off a piece of biscuit and put a little butter on it and ate it. And she like split hers in half, put butter in it, and ate it like a full biscuit. And I was like, that makes way more sense. Yeah. Like I was eating it. I was halfway through eating mine and I was like, oh, that makes more sense. I don't know why I'm doing it this way. Maybe I thought it'd be neater.
You gotta split the biscuit in half and slather the butter on top and bottom.
I was cutting off little chunks. I was like cutting into little eighths. But yeah, any other times you've been called out for doing something wrong or reaching over somebody or not asking somebody for,
Oh yeah, I have, being called out really is like such a, it's both humiliating for the person who gets called out and for the person who says it, because it's like also kind of rude. I think I used my finger once as a backstop on a flat plate to, with my other hand to use the fork to get the,
Hey, yo, that's crazy. That's in a column that I didn't bring in, but that's crazy.
Yeah. And somebody,
speaking of which, super easy to find columns for this. This is so advice column 101.
And I remember somebody in the college dining hall was like, that's gross, you do that. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But also, okay, I'm never doing that again. How humiliating.
Damn.
I'm like, never gonna talk to you again. You're an odd person, but okay. Heard loud and clear.
Yeah, I think there was this weird period, like, actually not that long ago, where like I realized that like 99% of my meals throughout the year I eat alone. And so the few times when I started eating in front of other people, like recently, I was like, oh, I think I'm a weirdly loud eater now. I don't think I used to be this way, but I think I've like lost the any amount of like taking track of how much noise I'm making while I eat. And I got really self-conscious about it. There was one time where I took sushi with the narrow ends of the chopsticks instead of the fatter ends from a communal plate.
All right, cool. Do you want to get into columns?
Sure, yeah. What you got for us?
All right, Adrian, I'm bringing in Dorothy Dix from the 1930s. This was republished by the Boston Globe recently on, I guess they had like a 150 years edition of the Boston Globe, so they republished some old articles in 2022.
Oh, we brought in Dorothy Dix before, though. I feel like I recognize that name.
Yeah, I brought her in from Google News Archives before. This one was a little bit more SEO friendly because it was them republishing it. Published April 2nd, 1931. Our children resent their father's careless manners, his neglect of his person, and his ignoring of all table etiquette. He is very much hurt and thinks that they have ceased to love him, which I know isn't true. Is there anything I can do to help the situation?
Was this during the Great Depression, 1931?
Ooh, Great Depression was more 20s.
I thought the stock market crash was in 29. Great Depression was 1929 to 1939.
Oh, so this is during the Great Depression.
And this is what they're worried about? This is what's going on? This is why he's losing his family's love? Because, like, my first thought was going to say something about, like, what kind of wonderful times are they living in where this is the biggest problem that they got going on?
Yeah, history is like that, huh? I wonder, it's like, if they came back to our era in 100 years and they're, like, reading advice columns and they're like, isn't this, like, year after COVID? Like, why are they talking about normal shit?
Why are they talking about whether or not their girlfriend's pussy popping online or something like that on her OnlyFans?
I thought the 2020s were all about COVID. I guess it is easy to see an era through, like, a fisheye lens or through tunnel vision.
Yeah.
But I guess to them, life went on. I'm sure they all were thinking about it somewhat, but there were still other things.
Yeah, they kept thinking about it. It's crazy how we're living through the Great Depression right now.
They're like, we can tell this is going to be the big one. They're like, whoever called it World War One, that was dirty work.
That was dirty work. They really set us up. Our children resent their father's careless manners, his neglect of his person, and his ignoring of all table etiquette. Oh, so this is more general than table etiquette, then. This is just his being a slob and being careless in general.
They have a Homer Simpson dad, and they don't want that anymore.
Oh, but he's so cool. Have you seen him in Fortnite?
Yeah, but he chokes you. If you do anything
choking
wrong.
Choking on blood, like Homer Simpson. No, just if you're the boy. He doesn't do it the girl.
They did the classier thing than we've been doing. They called it table etiquette. Not table manners.
That's what I said. I've said that at least like 10 times. So do you think this is a rags to riches story? Do you think this is a poor dad who became a rich dad? And
no, I think it's one of those people who is so rich he doesn't have to care.
Oh,
and that's why his family.
Fuck you money.
He's got fuck you money.
Mm.
This does feel like they have to be pretty rich for this to be a family issue, right?
Yeah, that or the mom's projecting.
Well, the dad is the one who thinks the kids have ceased to love him, so the kids must be acting weird towards him. And he's like, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Gaslighting.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten embarrassed by your parents' manners? I feel like sometimes my dad can be a little bit of a slob.
No, I don't think so. I think my parents are probably more well-mannered than me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Where did they go wrong? Yeah, sometimes. Well, sometimes it's them being old. Sometimes it's them not knowing manners. Like I think I've said before about how one time when I was on vacation with my parents, we were waiting for the bill or something, and my dad just pulls out his phone and starts showing somebody else in our family videos from Facebook on full volume on his phone. And I was like, what do you think you're doing? What in what world do you think that's okay? We're in the middle of public.
Well, I mean, how far were those other tables? It could have been fine.
Well, I would say like the distance between the Levant and Iran. So I would say about as far as they could possibly be. So actually he was pretty far away from all the other tables.
Did your parents ever worry that they'd lost your love? It is weird to be insecure about your relationship with your kids. It's not like a girl you just started seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, where do I stand with my kids?
Hey, you don't know, they're fickle creatures.
My kids are always leaving my texts on red, man, it's crazy.
Sheesh.
I'm always waiting for those three dots. But they never
come. What happens when you're older. When they're younger, I mean, I don't know. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah. When older children have issues with their parents, it's usually like issues of like money or large cultural or lifestyle differences. For it to just be that, you know, he's always putting his elbows on the table. It's like, that's crazy work to let that come between you and a father.
You know, this is it's a different time. It's a much different time than ours. Maybe Dorothy Dix is going to be completely on it. Of like, this guy sucks. You got to dump him, honey.
All right. Dorothy Dix answer. Middle age is no alibi for a man getting sloppy and slovenly about his person. Because a man is no longer young and slim, it's the very reason that he should be more careful of his clothes and grooming. And certainly there's never any excuse for a man to ignore the niceties of table etiquette and feed like a pig at a trough. That is disgusting and repulsive and destroys the appetite of those who are unfortunate enough to have to hear him eat three times a day. Consideration for the feelings of others should make us dine instead of feed. Of course, it is part of a wife's duty to keep her husband from slumping and relapsing into savagery, but that is not always easy to do. But children have no such inhibitions. Father can't divorce them, and so they become most proficient and persistent little critics. So it seems to me that it is worthwhile for a parent to make some sacrifices to win the admiration of their children and live up to their children's ideal. Okay, I liked a lot of the built-in assumptions there. Number one, that...
he got fat?
Or he could divorce you over nagging him about this.
I was going with the assumption that he's fat now.
Yeah, that also was not part of the question
That was wild.
The part about weaponizing the children to mock their dad because he can't divorce them like he would do to you. Insane advice.
That he's being inconsiderate by having bad manners. I guess that's technically what people say fundamentally underlies it.
Calling bad manners savagery, that is very,
Ooh, we wouldn't do that now. So overall, good answer. Weaponize your kids.
Weaponize your kids, because he can't divorce him like he would leave your ass behind if you were a nag.
Yeah. Yeah, good thing they brought this one back. I think we needed this information.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, there was a lot of Dorothy Dix. I wonder why this was the one... Because I've read better Dorothy Dix. I wonder why they picked this one to republish. It really isn't particularly special or insightful or anything, really.
It feels like a little bit of a window into the time.
Yeah, maybe that's why, because it feels like it wouldn't be advice you would give now.
All right, cool. All right. You want to get a mic on?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so for my article, I'm bringing in something slightly different than table manners, specifically about table etiquette, but still about tables and etiquette. This is Asking Eric. If someone has their belongings on a table at a bookstore, don't touch their stuff. From December 9th, 2024. Dear Eric, I play Mahjong with senior citizens several times a week at a local Barnes & Noble. One day, our group needed two tables, and one table had stuff sitting on it, along with a backpack on the floor with no one around. I moved it to the table right next to it because we needed that specific size table, and there were many other open tables around us. When the young man finally came back, I apologized and said, "Sorry to move your stuff, but we needed this table, and you were nowhere around." He then told me it was rude to touch his stuff. Many of the ladies agreed with him, so I wonder if I was wrong. But the way I look at it is, you can't expect someone to save a table and then walk around. You can't expect someone to save a table and then walk around for an hour and expect no one to want the table. Also, I have come many times early and sat at the table to reserve it and never left my stuff on it, expecting no one to move my stuff if they needed the table. What do you think? This feels like something where we might have opposite opinions.
Oh, really? I think it's definitely rude to move somebody's stuff.
Interesting.
You think it's not?
No, I just thought you'd be okay with moving stuff the way that you feel about, like, grocery,
Adrian's talking about how I said that if you're at a grocery aisle, what was the question? It was like they pushed her items.
It was at the conveyor belt, like at the register, where someone just pushed their items onto the other person's items.
I mean, if you do it gently and you're not breaking their stuff.
Oh, now you're
there.
Changing the parameters. Okay, interesting. Okay.
This is rude because they're not around, so it just feels like, hey, why are you fucking with my stuff? I don't know what you did to it. Like, it's a little bit more.
Mm.
Also, I mean, it is a they're both rude situation. To leave for more than 10 minutes with your stuff at a table is definitely rude. You get a bathroom's break worth of time at a coffee shop with your stuff.
So, like, 35, 45 minutes.
Yeah, like 5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, that's my issue with it, too, is that I think that the person has a good point, which has always been trivia rules that I've followed, which is if you have one person at a table, doesn't matter how big the table is. As long as you have a living person there, you've claimed the table, you're fine.
Oh,
a bag
I disagree.
On there, I don't know. Really?
You think at a six-person table, one person at the corner, that unless they say, oh, people are about to come,
Are you just going and grabbing chairs? What are you saying?
I'm saying if you have like four people, like you can take the other, or like you and somebody else, you can take the other end of that table. If they're just one person at a corner, you can go sit there.
No, that's insane. You're sitting at someone else's table?
If it's a six-person table, and they're alone in one corner of it?
Yeah, that's crazy. You're doing that without asking? You're just going up and sitting down with them?
Yeah, of course.
That's insane work. That's crazy.
You've never heard of communal tables? Sometimes it's like obvious that it's meant
But that's a designation. That you can't just like tap it and say communal table and then sit down. You don't just create that designation.
I mean, I think if they look like a single person with a laptop at one end of a table in a coffee shop.
Okay, now you're adding more stuff. Now you're adding so many more parameters to what I said.
Okay, what are they doing alone? Okay, sure. Yeah, there's context here.
Yeah. My whole thing was trivia. My whole thing was if you're saving a table for a bunch of people for trivia.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, if somebody's obviously saving a table, that's different. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's the context of this.
Oh, okay. Well, no, it's not the context of the question. That was just one thing you brought up.
The question's about saving a table.
But not for trivia.
So wait, if it was for something else, you changed what you... what do you mean? It's about saving tables, yes.
Okay, yes, we're talking about saving tables, Adrian. Stick with me here. Stick with me.
Okay, yeah.
If in a coffee shop, if there's a context of a person is just at a table working alone, that's a situation where the context does mean that somebody else could sit at that table too.
I would still ask. That's insane not to ask.
You think so? It's insane not to ask? A six-person table, one person at one corner on their laptop?
So wait, is it like one corner is the 11th and one corner is your honor? How big is this table?
How big does the table have to be before you would
but
not
also,
ask?
But also, your situation has nothing to do with saving a table then. Then you're just saying that they're not saving a table. You've made the assumption that they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this person also made the assumption that they're not saving a table. He made the assumption that they're just leaving their bag somewhere and don't mind.
Oh, I don't think so. I think the bags does signify that you're saving the table. They're saying that they've not followed the rules to properly save a table. At a certain point, if we need this table, even if you think you've saved it, you can't go walk for an hour with your bag on it and think that you own it.
I think that's true, but the employee has to move the bag. The other person, isn't that they would assume somebody wasn't saving the table. It's that they would move somebody else's stuff, that they would touch and handle another person's stuff without like authority of that shop.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think asking an employee to do it. I would probably ask my friend first, but then they would probably insist that we'd ask an employee, yeah. I wouldn't do it myself.
Because then it's like, you're just asking them like, hey, if somebody hasn't been at that table a while, do you think that's free? And then it's like, give them the opportunity to be like, oh yeah, that person left a while ago. Let's move their stuff somewhere. Mm-hmm. We need to open that up for other customers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
To play Mahjong.
I can't make that choice. I'm not the owner of that zone. I can't go grabbing people's shit.
Interesting, but if there's a human being sitting there, you can take that table.
because you're not taking the table. I don't know. A 6-person table to me clearly feels communal at a coffee shop. The expectation is that multiple 1-person or 2-person units are going to fill up that table. You don't think so?
I think anytime that that's happened to me, I've either asked or the other person has asked, and I think that's made it okay.
I feel like you're not thinking of the situation. I feel like the situation I've painted is very common.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like I know it. I'm just not a colonizer. I asked nicely. Crazy to get this mad at a bunch of senior citizens.
Yeah, it is weird of him to... I feel like that's the type of thing where you just pack your stuff and go, that's a little odd they did that, but at least they didn't steal anything.
Yeah. Well, as far as you know. And so you're saying that in this situation, if it was your stuff, you would have done like a stand your ground thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Unless they had one of those little signs on the window that said, like, no concealed carry in here, then I wouldn't have had my gun. I would have left it outside.
Well, then you just do unconcealed carry, right?
Yeah.
That's how you get around that.
Is that something people aren't familiar with? I assume that's, like, not something you have to do outside of South Carolina. Do other places have no concealed carry signs?
I think there's a bigger region than just South Carolina, but yeah, maybe not in California. Actually.
I was going to say, like, in other states, is it just illegal in general to bring it into, like, a private property?
I don't know. I don't know about these states with no freedom.
I always saw that, and I was like, what are you supposed to do? It feels like a worse thing for the... Do they just put their gun down on the pavement?
I mean, like an umbrella? Like in the rack that they have for an umbrella on a rainy
day?
Yeah,
yeah. You hand it to a local child and ask them to take care of it for a while?
Why is it a local child? Why can't it be an out-of-town child? I was thinking of saying that, like, I don't know, I'm pretty loosey-goosey about it. I feel like I have a lot of trust in my community that I shouldn't have, but I do leave my bag unattended more than I should. But I think the ones where I'm most worried... Well, obviously, I'm most worried when I'm leaving my bag and my laptop out. But the ones where I'm most worried that something's going to happen is if, like, I leave just my drink there and someone thinks, oh, they're done, they're leaving, let's get that out of there. I'm like, no, that's the one of my
drink.
I know, which has happened before every now and then. People take over your spot and you're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go sit somewhere.
I don't think I would ever throw away a drink unless it was, like, completely empty. I think that's another one where it's like, that's an employee's prerogative to be like, that half-drank drink has been there long enough to throw away.
Yeah. That's their decision.
Yeah.
So you're leaving this up to the teens at Barnes & Noble to figure out.
I don't know. I guess it is a little bit, like, frustrating if you've, like, driven all these elderly people in a van to go play Mahjong that you play with every week. It is a little frustrating to get there and be like, we can't start for 2 hours or half an hour because we can't get a table.
Mm-hmm.
I see why maybe he kind of went a little bit like, I'll do something rude. But it seems like his question is not... He seems to think it's not rude at all, whereas I'd say it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's always rude to move somebody's stuff. I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes, yeah, you do it, then you're apologetic about it. But it seems like if there was a situation to do it, this one's not a bad one. Is this why you should have that, like, what's the stuff at the mall where if you, like, take something out of the store, a bunch of paint explodes or whatever?
Wait, what was this a metaphor for? I feel like I lost track of where that started.
No, you put that on your bag, so if anything that touches your bag, you automatically have it explode.
That seems risky. Seems like it might go off when you touch your bag.
You think this is a gun thing where it's like 90% of injuries happen to the person who owns it?
Yeah, I think so.
But is it worth it for your safety? See, Paul's got to think about that. That's a tough question. That's a philosophical question.
I think you got to start running this Mahjong game with a little bit more of an authoritarian flair. Why are they questioning your authority?
Oh, the fact that other people agreed with the guy?
Yeah.
Those are, what do you call them, mob wives? They were there for it. They could have stopped it at any moment. They decided not to.
I know. They let him do it, and then they got talked to by the guy, and they were like,
yeah.
Oh, well, we kind of knew this whole time that you shouldn't have done that. It's like, okay,
nah, that's bitch
fair
made.
Weather friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I wish I had gotten that other guy's side of the story about why he needed that big table. All right. Do you want to hear the answer? Do you want to hear what Eric has to say about this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Dear Rules. I think you shouldn't have touched another person's belongings. Coffee shops, bookstores, and spaces where we gather can be catch-as-catch-can when it comes to seating. But the general rule is that if your stuff is on the table, it means you intend to come back to it in the place you left. Your need for the table didn't supersede his need. It would have been better to make do with another table until he returned, then ask him to move. That said, if he really was gone an hour, it's rude of him to camp out on a table. Everyone here could have made a more conscientious, community-minded choice. Okay, so Eric's going for the everybody sucks. That's useful.
Yeah, it's not really... What was the advice they asked for? What do you think? Oh, it's just about, like, what to do in the future.
I don't think he understands how specific a Mahjong table needs to be. Yeah, I didn't particularly like that answer, but like nothing was wrong about it.
I feel like the question was asking, what should I consider rude in the future?
I mean, the real answer should have been you should have gotten your old lady goons with you to intimidate the guy. There's more of you. Should have been like, oh, nice bag. Would have been terrible if something awful happened to it. All right, cool. Well, you want to get in the third segment?
Yeah, let's do it. For the third segment, we got American Express, Essentials, Mind Your Manners, Can You Ace This Food Etiquette Quiz? Now, why American Express needs to do this, I have no idea. But it was the first quiz that came up when you searched Manners Quiz. Company? Yeah.
All right, Paul, hit us with it.
All right, Adrian, when a sommelier lets you taste a wine before serving it to the rest of your dining companions, it's meant to determine if you actually like the wine, if the wine has flaws, if you think the wine will go with the dishes you ordered.
It's for if the wine has flaws, right?
Yeah, pretty famously. It's supposed to be that, like, hey, we didn't, like, leave this to become vinegar.
Yeah. You guys didn't cork it incorrectly.
Yeah. To indicate that you're done eating, you should place your silverware separated at 4 and 8 o'clock back on the table at either side of your plate together in the 420 position,
hey,
bottom right of the plate.
This is good silverware stuff.
Yeah.
This is pretty easy, right?
I actually need to know this.
Oh, it's easy. What you do is you flip your green coaster to the red to tell them you want to stop bringing meat over.
Adrian, you know we're a Eurocentric podcast.
Portuguese?
Oh, damn.
It's Brazilian steakhouse. Separated at 4 and 8 o'clock on the plate. Back on the table. It's probably together? What do you think?
I do 4 and 8, so I feel like that's wrong. That's probably like the common person's like placement.
That seems like the ready position, right?
Oh, like angled into the... I do.
Right.
Yeah, I do this, like angled into the plate.
So it's like a sled. You want to go fries at first, then you go pizza.
Exactly.
So you're going pizza to stop. Okay, pizza to stop kind of makes sense, but I think it's that together at either side.
Yeah, I feel like somehow that feels more like a weird rule that would have started up on in like society culture. So let's, yeah.
What if it's 420?
Together in the 420 position. Oh, that's what I said.
Oh, shit. Okay, nice.
Something about that feels so random that it is like an arbitrary etiquette rule.
Okay, interesting. Alright, slurping your soup loudly is considered rude, right? Not in this country. Japan, France, United States.
Obviously Japan. I think
in the United States, they're not going to care either, but Japan, yeah.
So, in Korea, is it okay? Rude in Korea.
Oh, in Korea, it's automatically you go to jail. Straight to jail.
When eating with chopsticks in most Asian countries, you should never use them to point at people, spear pieces
That's
of
what
food
they're best
into
for.
Them, place them anywhere other than together on the chopstick rest, or all of the above. I think it's all of the above.
I think using them to point at people is kind of fun.
Yeah, also, I like
That's emphatic.
Oh, yeah, when people say the, like, if you put them upright, it looks like incense at a funeral.
Yeah, that's what me and Wolverine learned.
I wonder if the pointing them at people is like, oh, that reminds us of a sword battle and you're attacking. Like, is there a reason for that or is it just generally considered
rude?
Yeah,
it looks like you're pointing two little knives at me. I can't believe it didn't say anything about putting them in your mouth to make you look like a walrus.
I was going to say it didn't say anything about using them as drumsticks to make a sick beat.
Ooh, that's also fun. I'm going to go with all of the above.
I think so.
Nice. Okay. It's tea time. If you intend to take tea like British royalty, what should you make sure to do with your teaspoon? Allow it to lightly clink the sides of your teacup while stirring. I kind of like that aesthetic, but I don't think you're supposed to do that. Leave it in the teacup when finished stirring. I don't think you're supposed to do that. Place it on top of the teacup to ask for more tea, or none of the above.
Oh, I've never... It could be the third one. The other two I know are rude, but the third one I've never heard anything about, so maybe it is like a signal to the wait staff to pour more tea.
Because usually you're just snapping at everybody going like, hey, I need more tea.
Oh, hey, this is another etiquette question for you. Is the silent check movement while you say check in the air to get a waiter's attention rude or not rude?
I learned it from Jerry Seinfeld, so you shouldn't do it with underage people, but I think it's okay.
Yeah, I've heard people say it's rude before, and I was like, oh, shit, I do that all the time.
Oh, really?
I
every waiter like a, that I've... Yeah.
I thought it was just a good way to silently get that
every
information.
Every waiter I've done it to is like, cool, chill, gotcha.
Maybe
gotcha, boss.
You know, that's what I thought, but I'm like, once I heard it was considered rude by some people, I was like, maybe in their mind, they're like, this asshole, what, he thinks he can call me like a servant boy with a signal?
I'm going to go with the
I'm going to go
place
with
it
the
on top for more tea.
Yeah. Place it on top of
none
the teacup tap for more.
Shit. Oh.
That's rude.
That's rude too.
Me and the queen
is
would
never
get along.
Is it rude as a way to ask for tea? Is it rude in general? They didn't really explain that.
Mm.
Well, I guess I know not to do it.
In this country, tipping your server may actually be taken as an insult. Brazil, Japan, India.
Ooh. Okay, now I've been trying not to use the picture context clues, but this guy is giving out euros right now.
Which is none of the countries, so okay.
Shit, okay, well I also just know it's Japan, but...
Oh, really? Okay. That
yeah.
Then I'm going to use my context clues to say it's Japan.
That was something I learned from Dora Lee when she went there for a Sweet 16.
I'm going to use my test-taking skills to say Japan. My test-taking skills of when the other test-taker loudly says the answer.
Though common in the U.S., it's considered bad form in Europe to keep both hands above the table, keep one or two hands under the table, keep your fork in your left hand.
When you're cutting stuff, I thought it was considered a must to put your fork in your left hand.
But to keep it there.
To keep it there. Hmm. Keep one,
keep
or, two
one or two hands under the table. I think that's usually because you're joking it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're not joking it, it's rude.
Hmm. It's only not rude if you're actively jorking it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep both hands
above the table.
How
that's just
would
like
you
surgeon.
Do that? Yeah. Although common in the US, is it common? Do I see people keeping hands above the table? I don't know. These sound odd to me.
I think the common thing in the US is to have a hand under the table while you're doing stuff. I know Bill Clinton used to do that a lot.
Oh boy. Hillary was like, why is there a Donald Trump shaped bulge under the under the table cloth?
How curious.
Why is there
That's a very good Hillary Clinton.
Why is there a Donald Trump shaped bulge under the table cloth, Bill?
Are we clocking in?
I really don't know. I'm going to go randomly with keep two hands under the table.
That's what I'm doing. Yep.
So where are you supposed to keep them in European society? You keep them on the table?
On table level or higher, yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
I don't know. You just don't, you know, put good posture and all that.
I guess if you have armrests, are armrests fine? I guess that's where you're supposed to keep them.
10 and 2.
If you want to do as the locals do in India, you'll often find yourself eating with what utensil? Wooden spoons, very sharp knives, your hands.
Very sharp knives. Don't they do a lot of that over there? Like spinning someone on a wheel and throwing knives at them?
Yeah. They do a lot of that over there. Obviously your hands.
Yeah. Also in India, finishing your plate is a sign of appreciation and respect, but in what country should you never leave a clean plate as it signals that your host did not provide enough food? China, Argentina, or Greece?
Argentina seems like too chill a culture. I don't think they're getting upset about that.
Greece, I feel like, is famously like we want you to eat all of it and more type people.
So we're going
I think
with
it's China.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you want to say anything about how that was something you had to like preface to your friends about how when you went to your house, you were supposed to eat as much as possible as a sign of manners?
Yeah. Well, no.
When did you find out that was something you had to preface people on?
I never had to preface anybody. I think I just told people that like...
You literally told me about it. The reason I'm asking is because you prefaced me on it.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like what I told people was like, she'll offer you a lot of food and feel free to take it. It's not like bad, but maybe I said it differently. When dining in Thailand, what should you never do with your fork? Eat, obviously. Shovel food onto your spoon. Trick question. Thais don't use forks. In Thailand, they do, right? Or what Southeast Asian country do they not use chopsticks primarily? And it's always like a thing or like a...
I think that might be Thailand, yeah. So I think it's shovel food onto your spoon is the only one that makes sense because the first one and the third one kind of match each other.
Yeah, okay.
Unless they're a bunch of little mermaids and they brush their hair. Yeah, I'm going to go with the middle one. Now, this one's interesting because when you were using your finger as a backboard to get stuff onto your fork, I understand how sometimes getting stuff with your fork is an issue. Spoons are famously easy to get things onto. Why would you be shoveling stuff with your fork onto your spoon?
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever come naturally as a thought to me.
Because, like, there's the Italian thing where you fork it and twirl it, and then you use your spoon to, like, make a bite, but, like, that's not shoveling it onto your spoon.
You know, I think the reason I did that finger thing, which was objectively rude, was because I didn't have a knife, because it was a...
You were in an insane asylum?
I was in an insane asylum. No, it was a...
You were in Arkham Asylum?
It was a college food hall, so I just had forgotten to grab a knife, but I think in most meals, when I have the knife, that's its job, is to be the backstop if it's a flat...
Right.
If it's a flat plate. But maybe, I guess, if you had only a spoon, that's kind of what they mean. Like, you could use the... I don't know. You could kind of use that instead of a knife as, like, the second thing to...
I think what I'm saying is that I'm never calling somebody out on this one. You can get away with this one in front of me.
Well, you're not Thai.
Yeah, but I can still have Thai values. Traditional Thai values.
Hey, when in Thailand, and moving on to the next question, when in Rome or anywhere in Italy, which of the following should be avoided? Cutting your spaghetti noodles, putting extra Parmesan on your pizza, ordering a cappuccino after a meal.
Oh, Maron!
All of the above. I think
Maron.
All of the above, right?
Yeah, cappuccino's before a meal.
Well, cappuccino is before like 11 p.m. Like, you're not even supposed to order it by itself.
What? You're not supposed to order it by itself? You're supposed to order it at 11 p.m.?
Or before 11 a.m. You're not supposed to order it by itself, like, also, on top of, like, you're not supposed to be drinking these drinks later in the day.
Yeah, I knew one for sure. Second one seems plausible to me, so I think that means it has to be all of the above.
Yeah, this is a thing I've seen online, is videos of people arguing with Italian waiters about wanting a substitution. It is funny how strict of a culture they are about their food.
You've never seen the videos where, like, a team from a different country is traveling to, like, Naples for a soccer match, and they go and, like, break spaghetti in front of the Italian fans?
That's awesome. It's internet fodder for people to debate if it's like, hey, you have to eat what the restaurant wants to serve you, or if it's rude of Italians to refuse to make an adjustment for your dietary preferences.
But that's like all Italians, right? That's like the New York bodega guy who's like, if you ask for ketchup on the sandwich, get the fuck out of here. At a formal Western-style meal, what is the right way to eat your bread roll after it is placed on the bread plate? Tear off small pieces, then butter them as you eat? This is the biscuit question. We're asking the biscuit question. Slather it with butter, then use your knife to cut into bite-sized pieces. Slice it open horizontally, butter it, and take small bites from it. I did not realize I was asking a classic etiquette question when I was bringing this in.
Slather? Okay, putting the butter on the crust is insane.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't do that one.
Okay, slice it horizontally, butter it. No! I think this one is one where I was tricked by your confidence that the person you were with was correct.
Ooh.
I think with a whole roll, you would cut it off and butter it. It's just with a biscuit, you have to cut it in half.
Sounds like you're coping. Sounds like you're huffing on that copium. Sounds like I was right.
I don't think so.
I'm vindicated.
With a biscuit, get out of here.
That person didn't insist they were right, by the way. I just noticed it and was like, oh, that seems like they're doing it the smart way.
As Jack learned during his fancy dinner with Rose in Titanic, when presented with multiple utensils at a fine dining establishment, you should always start with silverware that is next to your plate, start from the outside and work your way in, grab whatever seems most functional to you. Did I learn this from the Titanic and forget that's where I learned it from?
Maybe, but I was about to say, I like how we're getting these Slumdog Millionaire moments on this quiz. The other thing I was going to say is that the third option, while clearly incorrect, makes the most sense, which is a perfect encapsulation of etiquette.
Well, if you look at that picture, it's very hard to tell which one would be the most functional for every meal. They all look the same, except for...
Those knives are wildly different.
Oh, I bet the forks.
Even then, there's still differences.
Yeah, not any that I would think would mean that any one of those forks wouldn't work for any given meal.
Well, there's also differences in flexibility and turgidity that are going to affect your functionality.
You're right. The knives would be crazy to not use the obvious butter knife for the bread portion or the obvious steak knife for the protein. The other two knives are just like, I don't know, utility. Well, not utility knives, but utility players in this knife lineup.
Yeah, those are everyday carries right there. All right, well, I'm going to trust you on this one in the way that you didn't trust me on the last one. It served me right. In this country, only a barbarian would cut their salad. Instead, you should fold the lettuce onto small morsels with your fork and knife.
Ooh, I like this country. That sounds like the right way to do it.
United States, Chile, or France? I mean, France seems like it would have the most rules.
Wait, do you cut salads? I don't cut my salad.
You've never cut a wedge salad before?
Oh, cut. Okay. This is talking about wedge salad.
Well, I mean, the picture makes it look like a little
I honestly thought salad, they were saying when you're served an already prepped salad that you'd continue to cut it into smaller chunks. And I'm like, that sounds very odd.
I think that is kind of what they're saying, is that there's too big of pieces, or, you know, like if you get a Caesar with too big of pieces of romaine, maybe you'd cut it a piece in half.
Oh, that sounds really alien to me. I mean, I wouldn't scoff at somebody who did it, but it sounds, I've just never even thought to do that.
I'd consider them a barbarian because I'm from this country, France. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I'm going to say that
Nice. Okay, last question, Paul.
A famous false etymology of the word tip claims that it comes from British taverns in the 17th century, where you'd slip the staff, a T-I-P, to ensure promptitude. In many other languages, such as the French pourboire, a gratuity roughly translates to pourboire. What does that translate to? Drinking money? Extra money? Pocket money? Pocket money, poor, just has a P in it. So
roughly translates to drinking money. I would think drinking money sounds the most like a working class waiter thing, but I don't know.
Oh, poor, maybe as in pour a drink?
Yeah, maybe that's dumb. Maybe it should be pocket money.
Pocket money just sounds the most like, it feels right
to
me.
What kind of money are you not having in your pockets, though, before you had an electronic bank account? I don't know. All right, yeah, I'll go pocket money.
No! I'm sorry.
Is it not pocket money?
It's not pocket money.
Oh, good. I haven't put it in yet. I'm putting drinking money. Yay! What was your final score?
12.
I got 13.
Damn.
Thanks for that last one, baby. Well done. You're the United Nations of food etiquette. You can break bread with anyone, anywhere, and do it with elegance and grace.
I got the same description. Should we go back and see if it's mean to you if you get them all wrong? Or it probably says you have to improve or something. Make sure to brush up before you travel next. But it would be funny if they were like, you piece of shit.
I got them all wrong and it said half a brick out the church parking lot. Hallelujah. All right. Big fact, no cap.
Yeah, let's do it. Big fact. When it comes to table etiquette, sometimes you got to table your etiquette and show them how a real man does it and suck off Bill Clinton.
You got to give him that sloppy toppy.
It is crazy that I learned about this, what feels like a world historic news in the last 2 hours.
And it's going to be recorded so that we know exactly the time you learned about this. And then my no cap is, it's been a long time since we've done an etiquette, column question theme, but good on me for not making it into a long spiel about Western hegemony and just, taking it for a fun little ride with my boy Powell.
Alrighty. Bye, Adrian.
Bye, bruh.